it had to be God, because I never sing in church, at least not from the pulpit. Amen. I just want to thank you all for bearing with me, and thank your pastor for the invitation. I appreciate being the substitute teacher when Dr. Chris Levy is out. And we honor your senior pastor, Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, senior, and your very efficient assistant pastor. Give God a hand. Amen. Bless you, my brother. If you have your Bibles, your phone, your tablet, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And we'll begin reading at verse 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Chapter 14, 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, beginning at verse 14. Chapter 20, the New King James Version presents the Word of God this way. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God for this sermonic spotlight, these few moments that we share together. I want to preach from this subject, the blueprint for battle. The blueprint for Apostle Paul declares that Satan, or the devil, the enemy, whatever you call him, he is the prince of the power of the air. And since that statement is true, and it is Satan's goal to kill, steal, and destroy, that all God wants to do through you and for you, then we must agree with the proposition that states that the Christian will always find him or herself in one of three positions. You will either be in a battle, you will be just getting out of a battle, or you will be preparing to go into another battle. And I want to declare, woe be unto him, that pitiful preacher and false prophet who will preach and teach a gospel just to get rich. Gospel that is devoid of suffering, storms, and battles. In fact, the gospel that excludes that kind of trouble is really no gospel at all. Paul even went so far as to say that God did not even spare his only son from trouble. And if Jesus had to suffer and do battle, then it's only logical to conclude that you and I gonna have to fight sometimes too. All of us in here, I believe, if I gave you this microphone, could give a personal testimony of the daunting battles you've had to fight simply because you've chosen to walk by faith and not by sight. Some of those battles we've had to fight, if we're honest, we can admit that we did not have what it took to win that battle by ourselves. Am I right about it? The Bible gives us a good witness that there are some battles we're going to fight that we don't have enough power by ourselves to win. Elisha was in a battle he could not win, for the Bible says that he skipped town trying to save his life. And we find him underneath a juniper tree asking God to take his life. Job was in a battle that he could not win. And the old preachers would say he was on his bed of affliction. And he complains to God by cursing the very day that he was born. If you read the New Testament, you'll see Paul always in battles that he could not fight. You see him being dragged to the streets and beaten and whipped and jailed and even condemned to death, all because he was talking about a man named Jesus. And all I'm trying to suggest to you all this morning is that in this journey, you will sometimes find yourself in a battle you cannot win by yourself. And so it is in this text before us, we find God's children facing a battle they can't win by themselves. The people of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir have come together to destroy God's people. Bible says that when King Jehoshaphat looked down at his cell phone and he saw all the text messages he had, everybody was warning him to get ready to fight. I'm just trying to tell the story how I read it. Is that all right? Now, while he was afraid when he read those messages, he still had enough good sense to activate his faith. So the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord. He orders a fast. All of the people join him in fasting and prayer. And because of their faith, God responds with a good word. And this was what God said. God says, calm down. Chill out. I got this. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. He then says, you will not need to fight in this battle. But if you're reading King James, it says, set yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They go to bed that night. They get up early in the morning, and they responded to the word of God by faith and headed down to the battlefield. On their way down there, they begin to have devotion. I'm sorry, wrong church. They begin to have praise and worship. And somebody lists a song that says, "For His mercy, praise the Lord, because His mercy endures forever." Now, while they are singing and praising God and headed towards the battlefield, the book says that the Lord set up ambushments against their enemy. And by the time they got to the battlefield, the enemy was dead and the victory was already won. Brothers and sisters, if you find yourselves engaged in a battle that you cannot win by yourself, I suggest that you seek the word of God. Respond to that word by faith. Trust God, and I promise that God himself will fight your battles. That's my whole sermon right there. That's really all I came to preach about on this Lord's Sunday, that if you trust God, he will fight your battles. Is there anybody in the house who can be honest with me this morning? And you can say that you have been in some battles a time or two that you knew you could not win by yourself. Okay, y'all still quiet. Yeah, can I testify? Can I give my own testimony? I have been in some battles, y'all. I knew I could not win. I've been sick. I've been down and out. I've been depressed. I wanted to throw in the towel. My family and my friends could not understand what I was going through. Seems like nobody was there for me. But I remember this old song we used to sing back in the country that said, take your burdens to the Lord. Y'all come from the country too. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And for every battle I was fighting that I knew I could not win, when I turned it over to Jesus, he sure enough worked it out. And I stand before you this morning as a living witness that if you trust God, he will fight your battles. You see, when you find yourself fighting somebody that you know you can't beat, you got to find some backup. You got to find somebody who's stronger than you are, who can handle what you're going going through and cannot make a recommendation right here. There is a hymn who the old preacher would say, he's still a doctor in the sick room and a lawyer when you get in trouble. There is a hymn who's bread when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty. I see that's not making you happy. Let me update the language for you. There is a hymn who got you the job even though you weren't qualified. There is a hymn who kept you safe while you were texting and driving. There is a hymn who knows what you're going through when nobody else knows what you're going through. There is a hymn who will wipe your tears and calm your fears. Have y'all figured out this hymn I'm talking about? Jude put it like this. Jude says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. And I need just about four of y'all to stand to your feet. And I'll make number five. And we can testify together that there is a him who will catch you when you're falling. He'll pick you up when you're weak. And him will fight your battle. I'm just talking. Y'all be seated. Here we are. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat and God's people are engaged in a battle that they cannot win. This three-headed nation, three-headed army, come together to fight them. Too much for them to handle by themselves. Bible says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat was afraid. It is a natural human reaction to be afraid when you are facing what seems to be insurmountable circumstances. Now, the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. But that does not mean that the enemy won't put you in some fearful situations. Have I got a witness here? But for the Christian, there is a silver lining in the dark cloud called fear. That is that your fear should drive you to seek the Lord in prayer. It ain't that deep. Y'all read the text, verse number 3. He says Jehoshaphat feared, but by the time we get to the end of verse 4, Jehoshaphat had got everybody together for fasting and prayer. Now, brothers and sisters, prayer is one of the things that keeps us connected to the voice and to the plan that God has for your life. It is your prayer that gets God's attention for what you're going through. The book says that they seek the Lord in prayer, and when you read the prayer, you got to read it, y'all. Notice the confidence Jehoshaphat has in his God. He says, God, in your hands, there is power. That's a good thing to confess when you're praying. He keeps on praying. He tells God, he says, God, these people have come to destroy us. Verse 12, he says, we don't have enough power to fight them. Now, we don't know what to do, but here it is, church. He says, our eyes are on you. That's a good place to say amen right there. Two things your prayer does. Your prayer is a clear confession that you can't make it on your own and you need God. Your prayer also shows that you have confidence in what only God can do. Now, I need to tell you here that it is difficult to trust in something or somebody that you've never tried before. But if you got experience with that person, then you can trust them now based on what they did for you before. Am I right about it? You see, this isn't Jehoshaphat's first rodeo with God. If you read the previous chapters, 18 and 19, you'll find that Jehoshaphat had just come out of a situation where God spared his life. So he knew that if God did it before, I believe y'all can help me preach right here, he can do it. He can do it again. And so my friends, then when there is a battle that you know you cannot win, it is imperative that you seek God in prayer. Prayer means you need God. Prayer means you have confidence in what God can do. And can I give you one real good reason to pray? Here it is. Don't miss it. Prayer still works. How do I know it? Read the text. The text says that after they pray, that the Spirit of
church. The Spirit of the Lord came with a good word after they decided to pray. I tell you, church, prayer still works. And if you read your Bible, it's all in there that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. The Bible says he will respond to the prayer of the destitute. The Bible says you ought to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Your Bible says, records Jesus saying that you should always pray and not faint. The Bible says you ought to pray without ceasing. Why? Because prayer still works. Prayer can open doors that were closed in your face. Prayer can make a nasty supervisor get up off your back. Prayer can take you places that money and connections can't take you. Do I have a witness here? Is there anybody in the house that knows that prayer still works? I tell you, prayer can get you out of some tough situations. Prayer can still heal the sick. Prayer can still raise the dead. Prayer can open the door for God to work miracles in your life. And every now and then, when you find yourself struggling and you don't know where to turn, you want to fall down on your resting knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know, because prayer still works. So they understand now that prayer works. And so they pray and God responds to their prayer. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Jehaziel. And through Jehaziel, God gives them a good word. God says, relax, take a chill pill. I got this. I know this is a battle you can't win. That's why this is not your battle. It is the Lord. Then, y'all, it gets tricky to me. God gives them some directions. He says, tomorrow, go down to the battlefield. Take your positions, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? Now, let me tell you what bothers me about this. Just the verse earlier, he said, this is not your battle. This is the Lord's. But now he's giving them some directions on what to do in the battle. Now, if this battle belongs to God, why do I even have to go down to the battlefield? I'm just saying. Couldn't God just blink his eye or snap his fingers and all the enemy just fall dead? Why do I even have to get involved? I'm glad you asked that question. Here is the answer. You have got to participate in the plan that God is using to give you victory. You can write that down or tweet that, put that on Facebook, you know. Too many times, y'all, we want God to do everything for us. But that's not how this thing works. God is not going to do everything for you. He will do for you what you can't do for yourself while you participate in the plan. That's real good preaching right there. John Calvin said, in the majority of the miracles in the Bible that involve people like you and me, he said that there is always divine intervention, but there's always human cooperation. Not that God needs you to cooperate, but your cooperation and your participation is just a part of what God requires by faith from you. So in other words, people who needed miracles from God, they had to do their part while God performed the miracle, that part they could not do for themselves. Are y'all with me here? And so if you are going to go to a higher level in your spiritual journey, if this place called Brooklyn Northeast is going to go to a higher level as a body of believers, then this is my prayer for you. God, deliver us from the spirit of laziness. Yeah, deliver us from being lazy. We all know Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and give you a future. But everybody loves that part of the promise. Am I right about it? But you've got to read that entire chapter, because before God gives them a promise of a bright future, future. He tells them there's some things you're going to have to do. He says, you got to build houses and live in them. You got to plant gardens and eat what they produce. If you're not married, you got to get married and have children. He says, you've got to seek the peace of the city where you live in. In other words, God says, if you want the promise to come true, you got to do something. Can y'all help me preach right here and shout, do something? Oh, come on, y'all. Use your preaching voice. There ain't nobody but us in here. Shout, do something. Yeah, you underemployed or unemployed, get your resume together. Do something. You need to lose weight and get in better health. Don't walk around and stop eating the fast food. You got to do something. You tired of fake and phony friends? Cut them off like a bad habit. Somebody shout, do something. You need a blessing from God? You want to go to a higher level? Then put your hands to working and get your feet to walking and do something. And when you do something, God will step in and make a way. I know I'm right about it. You got to do something. You got to participate in the process. Now, when you're fighting a battle you cannot win, and you decide to participate in the process, your desire, your willingness, your cooperation, your participation has to be by faith. Here's what I mean. It is easy to trust God when things are comfortable in your life. Am I right about it? When your bank account is okay and when your children are acting right and your career is going just fine, it's easy to trust God. But it gets difficult, if you're honest, to trust in God when there is no rhyme to or reason as to what you're going through, or you don't have any type of clue how this thing is going to work out. And when you're in that situation and you find yourself where you've got to trust God, trusting God will make you look foolish. I'm in the text. Jehaziel gives them instructions in verse 17. He says, you won't need to fight this battle. All you got to do is take your position, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I translate that for you in 2018? Here's what God is saying. He says, go down to the battlefield. Don't take any knives. Don't take no guns. Don't put on a bulletproof vest. Don't call your friends or family. Don't put on your concealed weapon. Go down to the battlefield. Stand in front of your enemy and look at him. I'm not making it up. That's what the Bible says. But here is the question. I got three enemies coming together to kill me. And God, you want me to go down and stand in front of them. Don't protect myself. You want me to stand in front of them and look at them. Trusting God in times of difficulty will make you look foolish. But that's why you can't trust God. You can't follow God, not based on how things make sense to you. But your faith has to be based on the fact that God will do what he says. And so when you follow God, when you participate, you've got to follow God by faith. They look foolish, y'all. They look vulnerable. They look weak. But that's okay because Paul says that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. So when I am weak, my God is strong. And see, all the people in your family, all your friends, they know your shortcomings and they know your weaknesses and they know you can't really handle what you're going through and they just waiting on that phone call for you to call and tell them you need some help. But when God moves on your behalf and God works that thing out for you, your testimony will be, it was nobody but the Lord. Is that your testimony? Have I got some company in the room? Nope, it was nobody but the Lord. The job that I have, it was nobody but the Lord. The reason I made it through college, it was nobody but the Lord. All the ups and downs of my marriage, but we still together, it was nobody but the Lord. The money I got, the car I drive, the house I live in, everything that God has given to me, it was nobody but the Lord. I feel David tapping me on the shoulder. David wants to say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Is there anybody here who can look back over your life and see where you wanted to give up, but you're still standing, you're still here, and you can say it was nobody but the Lord? Y'all sit down. I'm just talking. Gotta follow God. Gotta participate by faith. So if my participation is by faith, then we've got to deal with a misconception in this text. If you read the story too fast, you would think, y'all, that praise is their weapon. I always heard the preachers saying when I was growing up that praise was their weapon. But I want to submit to you this morning that this text does not teach us that praise was their weapon. Now, before y'all get mad at me, I do believe that God inhabits the praises of his people. I do believe that when praises go up, it is possible for blessings to come down. I believe that. I do believe that praise can confuse the enemy. But when you read this entire story, they praise God twice in this story. And most people skip over the first praise in verse 19. You see, in verse 19, they praise God because God responded to their prayer. The directions, y'all, were for them to go down and take their position, stand still and see. Nowhere in the story did God tell them to sing and shout. This tells us that praise was not a part of the plan, but praise was their response to the goodness of the Lord. Let me come and get you. These are the people of Judah. Judah is the Hebrew name that means praise. Praise is who they were. Praise was a matter of their will. And they praised God based on the word that they heard from God. So in essence, my brothers and sisters, praise is an act of faith. It's something that you've got to do. You've got to will yourself to do it. That's why David said, I will praise the Lord at all times, and his praises will continually be in my mouth. He says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, and I will enter his courts with praise. And before I get any further, is there anybody in here who can say, if anybody needs to praise God, I will? Y'all missed it. I'm going to say it again. If anybody should be praising God, I will. He's been too good to me. I will praise him. He's opened too many doors for me. I will praise him. He brought me out too many times. I will praise him. He bled and died for me when I did not deserve it. I will praise him. As a matter of fact, each and every day of my life, every time I turn around, he's always making a way for me. I don't have a choice but to praise him. Your grandmama would tell you, if somebody has been good to you, it's only good manners to give them some thanksgiving. So if God has been good to you, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds just to give him some praise and tell God, thank you. I'm almost finished. I'm going to show you what the real weapon is here. The real weapon in this story, in the blueprint for battle, text is tailored to teach us that obedience is your weapon. You see, it was when they were obedient to God that God turned around and gave them the victory. It was when they went down to the battlefield by faith that God killed the enemy for them. Do you see what I'm saying here? So if you need a blessing from God, if you need God to fight your battles, then just be obedient to his word. Obedience says give, and the promise is he'll give back to you. Obedience says love them that despitefully use you, and the promise is he'll make your enemies your footstool. Obedience says trust him with all your heart, and the promise says he will direct your path. If you want God to move in your life, just be obedient to what he asks you to do. I'm done. This blueprint for battle, you got to seek God in prayer. You got to participate in the process. And you got to participate by faith. And the last thing that you have to do when you've done your part is just process to the victory. Bible says they were obedient to the directions that God gave them. It says that after they prayed, they went to bed. Then they got up early the next morning, started a procession down to the battlefield. Bible says they were obedient by doing what God told them to do. On their way down there, somebody raised that old Negro spiritual. Says he's a battle axe in the time of a battle. And while they were praising God in verse 22, your Bible says that the Lord set up ambushments against the enemy. Now, they weren't there yet. They were on their way, processing down to the battlefield. And while they were on their way, God was working behind the scenes. Let me ask you a question real quick before I close. What might God be doing for you if you would praise him while you're on your way before you get the victory? Did that just go over your head? I'm going to say it one more time. What might God be doing for you right now if you pray the prayer saying, God, I need you? What might he be doing for you right now if you would clap your hands and if you would lift your voice and if you would tell him thank you even before you get what you want? Book says he set up ambushments. This is a mysterious word because it only appears just this one time in the whole Bible. The Hebrew word for ambushments means to be behind the scenes. I'm going to tell y'all this story and I'm finished. This story came home to me while I was thinking about how I grew up down in Charleston, South Carolina. Grew up down in a little place called John's Island, right there on the coast. And every day we would be, all of the grandkids would be at my grandparents' house. We'd be outside playing, but every now and then thunderstorms would pop up. Now, the reason why the thunderstorms would pop up is because the cool air from the water would collide with the warm air from the land, and it would cause instantaneous thunderstorms to come out of nowhere. And so when these storms came, we would be outside playing. Grandma would make us all come in the house. And when the thunder started rolling and the lightning started flashing, Grandmama would make all of us sit down and be quiet. And she would cut off all of the lights and unplug the TV. Y'all had a grandmama like mine? And one of my cousins would say, Grandmama, why do we have to sit still? Why do we have to be quiet? And Grandmama would say, hush, child. The Lord is working. I'm ready to ride, musicians. I just came here to tell y'all this morning that if you find yourself in a battle that you cannot win by yourself, You ought to trust God. God will fight your battles. Help me preach right here. Lean on your neighbor and tell your neighbor not to worry. Say, hush, child. The Lord is working. He's working on your behalf. Is there anybody here that knows God will fight for you? Whatever the issue is, whatever the trouble is, whatever the battle is, God will fight for you. I hear the songwriter saying, that problem that I had, I just couldn't sing the song. I tried and I tried, just kept getting deeper involved. But I turned it over to Jesus, and I stopped worrying about it. Gave it to the Lord, and he worked it out. Oh, bless his name. The Bible says that the Lord was working behind the scenes. They were on their way, but God was working. They were singing and shouting, but God was working. They were clapping and praising, and God was working. I want to tell you now, if you can clap your hands, if you can lift your voice, God might be working on your behalf. If you find yourself in a battle you cannot win, trust God, and he will work it out for you. So hang on in there, my brothers and my sisters. Don't give up on God. He won't give up on you. That's the new school. Well, I like the old school, brother. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, but help be done. God will. I said God will. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fight your battles? Won't he make your enemy afraid? Won't he give you joy and sorrow and hope for tomorrow? My brothers and my sisters, don't you worry. Don't you get tired. Don't you weep. Don't give up on